Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
I'm sure you saw the viral clip of the guy who was like, our mayor's Muslim, our bagels are Jewish, our Christian's Dior, the Nixon Four, right?
Like, yep. I love that.
Kurt, welcome back. Tell everyone, where have you been and why have I not seen the Puerto Rico song video from you yet?
First, I've been in, thanks for giving it away. I've been in San Juan, Puerto Rico with the kiddos, took their first trip to that part of the world. It was a great trip. But again, this is the thing as a parent. It's a trip, not a vacation. Big difference. I don't think I've ever been in a more relaxing atmosphere while still being stressed simultaneously in my life.
But it was a great trip. Beautiful.
It was beautiful. Made a lot of core memories. Like, highly recommend Puerto Rico, by the way, especially if you're on the East Coast, man. That's how I discovered Puerto Rico. 4-hour direct flight out of DCA, same time zone as the East Coast. Like, you know, you can leave DC at 8 a.m., be on the beach by noon. Like, it's a hidden gem. I found it by accident, actually. We were looking at doing something for New Year's Eve in Miami, saw that Miami was like insanely expensive. Mm-hmm. And then just going to Puerto Rico was insanely cheap at that moment. And so that was 15 years ago. I've been there like 20 times now.
That's awesome. Well, it looked like a great trip. I'm really happy for you guys. You got to get out of town for a little bit, kick off summer.
That is the best way to kick off the summer. And I'm a trendsetter. I saw yesterday the Homeland Security Committee is taking a fact-finding mission to Puerto Rico tomorrow to see how they are recovering from the hurricane from like 5 years ago.
Hey, look at that. Oversight, work, go. Ooh. Government. Speaking of kicking off summer, this weekend marks Flag Day, June 14th.
Also, one of your favorite holidays.
I love Flag Day. You're kidding me? I love America. Also, President Trump's 80th birthday and UFC at the White House. We have UFC at the White House right now. We just had the congressional baseball game yesterday, and we have FIFA World Cup kicking off. Kurt, you are a wrestling fan. You're a big wrestling fan. What do you think about UFC at the White House? What do you think about that? And what do you think about kind of all of the sports that are going on right now in the U.S.?
I love this time of year. I love that we have simultaneously, you know, we have the NBA Finals, which, you know, I got to say, hats off to the Knicks for, you know, the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. I watched it on an airplane, was obnoxiously losing my mind during it. And I think we could all safely say now there's conclusive evidence that Taylor Swift has more juice than Donald Trump when it comes to being at the Garden and delivering a result.
Taylor Swift gets so much crap from Chiefs fans for like being a hex on them. I just find it very funny that now Knicks fans, like, it could have been anybody and they would have been yay. I just find it funny that they picked Taylor Swift. Anyway,
listen, you're a sports fan. You understand superstitions. It worked. Greatest comeback in history.
I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious.
I believe in curses, hexes, super. Being a Buffalo Bills fan, how could I not believe in the dark arts? Frankly, having been on the wrong side of them so many times. Be that as it may, the UFC thing. I tell you, just as a fan, I'm not speaking as a political person. Like, I think it's freaking awesome. I'll be honest with you. Like, just seeing the stage set up, and we can have a debate about whether we should or shouldn't, whether it's appropriate or not, and how much money's being spent, all that. But it looks kick ass. This is a cinematographer's, a sports photography dream. You know, they're building a set where every wide shot that you have of the octagon is going to have the White House as, you know, in the background. Like, it's going to look stunning. It's going to be one of the most stunning pieces of sports, you know, videography that you've ever seen in your life. I hope for those who are going, I hope that the fights live up to the hype. There's nothing more disappointing than when you go to an event and it's combat sports and it ends in like a 10-second knockout. You're like, what? All of that for, like, you hope that that everyone gets their money's worth. I'm a little concerned for people going to this. I don't know if they realize this, but like, it's DC. It's muggy. It's a swamp. A lot of lights. That's going to attract a lot of bugs, mosquitoes, bats even. Like, there are some environmental factors that may not make this as pleasant. My tip to people going, bring one of those portable little fan things to keep near you that will keep the shit away from you and wear a lot of bug spray.
Well, if you can, if Secret Service lets you bring that in. And
smuggle it in through your sock.
You know, you're all worried now about bugs and people being out on the front lawn of the White House under all these bright lights, but you hate the ballroom. Okay.
Well played,
McGuire. Wouldn't be bats in the ballroom.
Yes, if they could build a big enough ballroom to support a, you know, ginormous, you know, UFC steel cage, then maybe we could have a different conversation. That would be an arena, by the way.
That would get you on board.
That if they wanted to build an arena, like, okay, like I could do that. Home of the Washington Wizards, White House ballroom events and cage fighting. Done. Sign me up. I'm okay with that.
Multi-use venue coming to the White House.
Finally, some good usage of DC real estate. I'd be all for that.
I mean, but we've had that and the congressional. I'm excited for the UFC fight, if I'm going to be honest. I do think this is going to look cool. I'm not necessarily a wrestling combat sports fan in that way, but I'm going to watch at least a little bit of it No, not really. No. But I'm sure we're going to watch some of it because it is such an iconic event.
You got to watch it.
We will. Yeah. And this is the most, I will say, the sports friendly and forward president in U.S. history. There's really nobody that compares to wanting to elevate kind of U.S. culture through sports, right? He goes to college football. He goes to the NBA finals. He goes
gets booed out of the Garden.
He didn't. He goes to the Super Bowl. He's the first presidential campaign to ever buy a Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, this is a guy who really understands it. So I think that this is a cool event. And yesterday was the congressional baseball game, as well as whipping around the city on sports.
Dynasty.
And Republicans maintain, what is this, the sixth year in a row with a win. And what I must say,
11-2,
folks, be one of the greatest catches I've ever seen out of a member of Congress. Eric Schmidt, Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri. Diving catch. I mean, and he didn't even need to lay out like that. Republicans were already winning at that point.
I got to tell you, this is where, for all they want to say about people's, you know, backgrounds, Graham Plattner could be a real asset to the baseball game here for Democrats.
No, here's the thing. If Mark Teixeira wins that Chip Roy seat, the Republicans are going to go out of barnstorming. You've got a former Yankee on the bench next season.
That would be, I mean, he should not be allowed to play. That
and
is just
Jay
absurd.
Feely. If Jay Feely wins his race for the House in Arizona, the former football player, the former kicker.
Yeah, former kicker, former Miami Dolphin.
I mean, listen, we're bringing in the heavy guns now on the Republican side of the bat.
All right, Democrats, listen, we need to start recruiting for the baseball game, period. Like, that should be our early criteria. Can you match up with Mark Teixeira?
I saw an interview with one of the Dems who was at the game playing, and he's like, I've never played baseball before in my life. The first time I picked up a bat was a month ago. I don't know what I did. I'm like, I was like, way to go, Democrats. That's that real athleticism for you. I'm not super athletic, but I can tell you I've at least held a baseball bat in my life.
We fared much better in the congressional basketball game, which I played in for over a decade, many, many, many years. We did a lot better there because we had, you know, a little help from a guy named Reggie Love, who may or may not played at Duke at one point in time. Right. We need some ringers. Democrats, we need some ringers. For the love of God, they recruited Mark Teixeira, for crying out loud.
I'm so excited. And as we continue traveling around on the sports stump across the U.S., it is FIFA World Cup time. Now, I could go off about the politics of FIFA and how I think it is an incredibly corrupt organization, how I think that the attempts for whitewashing in sports across the globe for human rights atrocities and issues along those lines is disgusting. It happens at the Olympics. It happens at FIFA. It happens across all international sports. As I said, I can get into that. But we're seeing some really fun kind of content come out of this time right now. There's a German tourist who's going through the southern United States for the first time, a Buc-ee's and an eagle flying in a stadium, you know, going to
Waffle House.
Yes. And there's now a Twitter I saw about Scottish translations so that as they call themselves, like, the Tartan Army doesn't get in trouble for saying things that they think sound like. One of them was about, like, oh, don't go through TSA at the airport and say you brought a piece with you, which means sandwich, because you'll get in trouble, right? Like, there's a lot of fun, silly little fun content out there on this. What do you think about all of the FIFA World Cup and our new German friends who are seeing the U.S. for the first time? And, like, how cool is that?
I mean, this is the best part of something like this is, you know, there are people from completely different places of life who are experiencing the majesty of the South for the first time. People, you're used to Costa Rica, but you're in Alabama.
The German guy went and what, he was shooting the hooch. He went down the Chattahoochee too. I mean, like, this guy is like going for it.
It's like, this is sports at its best. This is what sports is supposed to be. It's a cultural touch point that works both ways. You know, obviously we see it all the time when our athletes go abroad for the Olympics or the World Cup, how exciting it is for them to go in new places and spaces. I love seeing the opposite. I love seeing people from all over the world come to this country. There's so much, you know, at this moment in time, particularly, we're all politically polarized. There's conflicts abroad, in many different regions right now. But here's an area where we can all kind of put that on hold over here. Not to diminish it, not to say it's not happening, but like, hey, there's other stuff going on there where there are real cultural exchanges that I think anyone who gets an experience of what the American way of life can be at its best, I think that's a good thing for our country. I think it's a good thing for global relations. I wish we had more of it, honestly.
I think it's really great. I love seeing people experience what I love about our country so much, which is just who we are. We take it for granted every day. And I say this, I would not have the life I have. I would not have the opportunity, the career I have, the opportunities I get if I lived in any other country in the world. That includes Canada. That includes the UK. There is no nation that provides freedom and opportunity the way the United States does. And so for people, you know, when I was in college, I took like an anthropology 101 class. And in that, they were like, I want you to go out and go into something you've never done before and see it through this new lens. And, you know, people would go to, like, if they weren't sports fans, they'd go at UConn, they would be going to a college basketball game for the first time and see that lens. And kind of see something that you know so normally in life.
Yeah.
In a new lens and in a new way through somebody else's eyes and experience. I absolutely love it. When he freaked out seeing the eagle fly across the stadium and a military flyover, things that we love and we're always like, yeah, let's go America. They get to see that and I absolutely love it. So this is a great sports time. The NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup, you know, we are in baseball season. We are watching it right now and it's some of the best part of being an American is how we do get to have these bipartisan cultural touch points, to your point, Kurt, in sports.
Well, what I love about it, too, is, you know, this is, you know, the first era of like social media, YouTube shorts, TikTok, where like my kid was the one who told me yesterday about the athlete at the Waffle House, because they are consuming these bits on YouTube shorts and seeing these other athletes from around the world come here. And that's how they're viewing the World Cup. And I just think it's so cool for kids who don't have political affiliation, have no idea about any of these things that we talk about day in and day out. They're just like, oh, that's so cool. That's so awesome. It's like, yes, that is how I want them absorbing this experience. And I think it's really, really precious actually watching the 10-year-old, you know, find connection with a foreign athlete go into a Buc-ee's or a Waffle House. Like, that's so cool.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Yeah, it's very cool. Well, let's go to something that's not as cool for Republicans right now, which is the latest polling that has Dems up 10 in the generic, which is a tough battle to climb. I will note, obviously, redistricting in some of these states, we're not still 100% sure on maps, but a D plus 10, that's a tough road to hoe.
Steep hill. Yeah. You know what'll help with that is when the party leader says, "I love inflation." which is not the soundbite I would have gone with.
Trump messaging right now, though, on this, which is he doesn't in his mind, and he continues to say it, whether or not Republicans, and if I'm a Democrat ad maker, you better believe I'm cutting an ad right now on that, is that the war in Iran is separate from the midterms, and the fact that economically the two are tied together. On his part, he's like, no, I don't care because we have to make sure the world is safer without a nuclear armed Iran. And if that means right now we're going through pain to get through to the other side, that's what we got to go through. I don't love the way he messages it, even if he does acknowledge it, that things are more uncomfortable now. I don't love that message.
Yeah.
I don't suspect that the White House comms team does either.
I could just imagine being the White House comms team hearing that, just going, oh, for the love of God. I think the hard part for Trump and Republicans right now is, again, they are often they're being measured against the expectations and rhetoric that they set. We heard for 2 years, rightfully so, Republicans hammer Democrats and Joe Biden about inflation. And it was obviously very politically successful. And so the expectation is set that, oh, you said that you would, you know, turn the corner on inflation. That's why we elected you. And now you're saying, I love inflation. That doesn't quite add up in the minds of the American people. You said that there would be no more wars. We are in a few. You said that it would end quickly. When you got into the war, it is still going on. And so I think it's the expectation mismanagement that is the most politically damaging to Republicans right now. And I think that as the summer plays out, again, oil met with the White House the other day, said that, yeah, we're going to be looking at gas might get up to $4.90 a gallon. It's like, let me tell you something. We get to that point, that generically is going to go from 10 to 15 by Labor Day. And this just might be one of those times where, like you said, you could do the right thing from a foreign policy standpoint, but right. It could completely cost your congressional majority. And there's nothing that Republicans in Congress can really do about it at this point. Events are going to play out the way that they're going to play out. The best thing, if I were a Republican consultant and I'm working for any member in a contested race, I would tell them, like, localize your race. Make it about your issues, your people. Yeah. Ignore Washington. Ignore foreign policy. Most people in America, listen, your congressman doesn't have anything to do with the war. They don't have any decision over what happens, good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. Localize your elections as much as you can, because that's really the only way you can have a chance at overcoming some of these broader national headwinds. I always say people hate Congress but love their congressmen. Try to make that happen.
Yeah. And when you look at even not the congressional, but, the Cook political reports, toss up leans.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen Alaska move to a toss up. You're seeing, Ohio move more towards Democrats, North Carolina. Yeah, there's not a lot of Senate pieces that have to fall into place for right. that Senate majority to flip. However, I will say initial polling coming out of that Plattner race has him up over Susan Collins. There are a lot of independents in Maine.
Yes.
And the last time Susan Collins ran was in 2020, a tough year, a tough race. She ran against Sarah Gideon, and she still won that race by 8 points when Trump lost the state by 9.
Yeah.
Susan Collins is an absolute battle axe of a campaigner and of a legislator. The woman has never missed a single vote in the United States Senate. She has voted
Cal Ripken
over 10,000 times. She does not miss. She's a Josh Allen. What is he, over 110 starting games straight?
Yeah,
starting quarterback. That is going to be very hard for Graham Plattner. And I believe now, Kurt, we've talked about this before, how ads lean into preconceived notions and affirm that.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's kind of baked into the pie that Plattner's a stone cold weirdo, right? We've kind of talked about that. My question is, do you think there's more and other? There's a little bit of reporting, right? I've seen that says Republicans are holding the worst still.
Yeah.
You go after him once he's fully on the ballot.
Yeah.
Do you think he has a chance? Do you think there's more? What do you think about Maine?
I think that there is more. I just generally, when stuff like this is going on, it's not an isolated incident. I don't care which party you're in. If you're a dude and you have some of these issues, it's been going on, and it doesn't just stop overnight, frankly. Do I think it matters is a different question. I think that, and we've talked about this, I think we've entered this era where this stuff just doesn't matter as much to people as how you vote, as what your voting record will be, in this case, the U.S. Senate. I think the same thing about Paxton, by the way. I don't think it matters. I think that the difference between 2020 and 2026 when it comes to Collins is, one, it was a presidential election year, so turnout was up. People were motivated to vote just because they wanted to vote in the top of the ticket race. No matter who you're voting for, you wanted to turn out and vote. I think that the independents, I think with the environment that it's in, this is where I think the economy, cost of gas, cost of energy, especially in Maine, by the way, where you know, oil is a big deal. Heating oil is a big deal. LIHEAP subsidies are a big deal up there. That is what can have a diminishing impact on enthusiasm for turnout for the independents that Susan's going to need to break her way. And I think that's the same reason why I think Texas could be in play more than people realize. I think it's a Paxton's baggage. It's because the bad political environment, I think, sours enthusiasm for turnout. There's nothing at the top of the ticket like a president's race driving those people to come home and vote for you. Those are the ingredients I think matter more. If I were Graham Plattner and I were James Tallarico, I would campaign in a way where I don't mention anyone's baggage at all. I just keep focused on the economy right now. Because that's, I think that's the, you know, and for Plattner's case in Maine, generational change is the best message. You know, people are, you're, Susan Collins is well known. She's battle tested. I would call her a battle axe. She's old. She's been there forever. We are in an anti-incumbent, anti-establishment mindset in this country. We want to turn the page from the old people across the board. We're seeing younger candidates beat in primaries on both parties, the established names. And I think that's the case that Plattner can make that mean, Michael, yeah, I mean, we've hung with Susan Collins, who, by the way, her first initial promise to voters was she would serve only two terms way back when in 1994 when she ran. I'm only going to two terms is enough for life in public service, she said. It's like, use that sound. That soundbite to me is more damning than anything to make the case for generational change.
I think the generational change conversation, though, doesn't necessarily work as well for Susan Collins because she is so independent of the party. Generational change argument works when you look at a party that is entrenched, when you look at a Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, somebody who has been there for so long and is only loyal to the jersey they wear for the political party they identify as. And so for Susan, she's the chair on the Appropriations Committee right now. The president has asked for a third reconciliation bill, which allows for that non-60 vote filibuster threshold. Mm-hmm. It eliminates that in the Senate. And she has said no to a third reconciliation bill. That is an opportunity for Republicans to pass major fiscal legislation that would have an impact to fund things, right? We just passed CBP, DHS funding through the remainder of the Trump administration, through the reconciliation process. Obamacare was passed through the reconciliation process. Tax cuts are passed through the reconciliation process. And so for Susan Collins to say, we're not doing a third reconciliation bill, that generational argument, I understand she's older, but she's not that entrenched bureaucrat within the party system the way that somebody, some of these others, like an Al Green in Texas, is seen. Nobody confuses Al Green for not being the most liberal, crazy Democrat at the party. That's generational change. Susan Collins, on the other hand, is bucking her party and her president regularly. And if the president goes after her, that almost helps her in Maine.
Yeah,
Not that I would encourage it, especially if they put dollars behind it.
Yeah.
You get the point I'm making. That generational change argument doesn't, I don't know that it's going to work as well here, given how Susan, Senator Collins, I should not be calling her by her first name. That's ridiculous. Senator Collins' record indicates.
If I'm Graham Plattner, I'm just running an ad saying she's had 30 years. What do you have to show for it, Maine? Is your gas price down? Is your housing down? Is your wages up? Like, I would just make it like that. That
real
simple.
Quick, did you see the interview of the two activists in Maine who found Graham Plattner?
No.
You need to find this and watch this. It is these two people who are just local community activists who, of their accord, found this guy, sent him to get vetted by whatever company. They clearly paid for terrible vetting. But again, this is the difference between being an activist and being a consultant who does this in the industry for a living and can say, don't go with that company. You want to know why? They're not going to give you the full vetting report. And they would know what to look for that would be missing out of a vetting report.
Mm-hmm.
These people were like, hey, what did you get? What was in your vetting report? Did it show the tattoo? They said no. It said, did it show the Reddit posts? And they said some of them, but not all of them, which tells me this was a bad vetting report by every imaginable standard.
Yes.
But that's the difference, right? Like you want to play with the big boys. You better be able to actually have a brain in your head. And instead, it's these two giggling activists who are saying like, well, it's better than Susan Collins. And I just don't believe that's the case. I know that across the country, we all hope in a lot of ways for higher quality candidates and people to represent us. But when politics is as dirty and disgusting as it is, the good people don't want to do it because they got a brain in their head and said, well, why would I want to get kicked in the teeth every day when I could not get kicked in the teeth every day.
I question the mental stability of anybody who voluntarily runs for federal political office. I think you are out of your damn mind.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order, my friend?
No, but I very much expect that by the time we get back to our next episode, we will have the new champion New York Knicks first time in 50 something years, you know. And I think I'm excited for New York. I actually, as a sports person, I think it's great when we have the big teams actually once in a while win. I think it's good for the league, good for sports in general.
Yes, I agree. Having the Knicks, I was in New York yesterday. The city's on fire. It's excited. Yeah. It's electric. People are coming together. I'm sure you saw the viral clip of the guy who was like, our mayor's Muslim, our bagels are Jewish, our Christians Dior, the Knicks in four, right?
Like, yep. I love that.
I thought, you know, like this is where New Yorkers put everything else aside. And this is, I don't know who it was in sports, say this is the most they've seen New Yorkers come together since almost 9/11.
9/11. Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly right. Sports at its best unites. Sports at its best allows us to put down the many things that divide us and come together. It's one of the only spaces where you can get 20,000 people into one arena that look like America, white, Black, Asian, Hispanic, immigrant, not, you know, rich, poor, you name it, celebrity, you know, parents, grandparents, generational, and you're all on the same team for that, you know, 2 hour period of time. It's a great thing. Like I'm a really big fan of it, and I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited for the state of New York. I think it's an awesome thing.
I'm excited as well. And real quick on the sports note, bringing people together, it's also a very persuadable political audience. Apparently, James Tallarico's going up on FIFA, one of the FIFA guy, I believe, games with
smart.
A Spanish language ad.
Smart.
Right?
Very, very smart.
So you're going to be seeing a little bit of where politics, and we can probably talk about this later, how ads, how spending, what politicians have been doing around these games and these events to kind of reach persuadable voters, because it's a good time to do it.
Hey, Trump did it. Trump did it with the Super Bowl, which I thought was brilliant. And I think taking advantage of the FIFA audience, which is huge, is I'll be curious. Living in Texas, particularly, I'll be curious if I get geo-targeted here, and I will report back.
All right. Well, that's it then. Bye.
Party on, party animals.